Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
Here on Money FM 89.3, I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. As October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, it is perhaps timely for us to revisit breast cancer awareness. Breast cancer is the most common cancer among Singaporean women. All women are at risk, and the chances of developing it increase with age. We continue the conversation on breast cancer, the current options, and more next on Health Suites with Money FM 89.3.
Health Suites with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health Suites. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Joining me on the phone to speak on breast cancer is Associate Professor Sabrina Nasserin, Consultant Breast Service, Sengkang General Hospital. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Hi, Clarissa. Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely our pleasure. Now, maybe not such a pleasure, the subject, but definitely timely. Let's jump right in. Most of us girls know something about this. We've been talked about this at school. We've been nagged about it by our doctors. But maybe we need to nag some more because clearly we're not doing some of the things we should. But remind us again, what are the symptoms of breast cancer? What do we need to know?
Breast cancer arises due to gene mutations in the lining cells of the duct or lobules of the breast. The lobules are where the milk is produced during lactation, and the ducts carry that to the nipple during letdown. So initially, cancer cells that develop occur within and are confined to the breast duct or lobule, and this is known as in situ or stage 0 carcinoma. The cancer cells progress and multiply and invade the surrounding breast tissue, resulting in invasive breast cancer, which can then spread from the breast to the nearby lymph nodes and other organs in the body, manifesting as stage 1 to 4 cancer. So physically, one may experience the disease evolving through a progression of symptoms, and early cancer is silent when no symptoms are felt. As the cancer grows, common symptoms include textural changes such as a thickening or swelling, breast lumps and nipple discharge, and it's important to note that these symptoms are generally going to be painless. As the cancer progresses, it may distort the shape and size of the breast, dimple, pucker, or fungate through the overlying skin and nipple. So if an affected person passes away from breast cancer, it's because of widespread metastases and the complications that result. The common misconceptions that lull women into a false sense of security include the absence of pain and ladies who think there's no way a cancer can happen to them just because they're young or have no family history.
Right, just because they're young and they have no family history. Are you listening, girls? Now, let's talk about one of the things that we can do for ourselves, which is self-checking, self-examination. Could you tell us what we're looking for? I mean, the thing is, all of us sort of, you know, poke around there and oh, okay, I'm good. But are we doing it correctly? What are we looking for in self-examination?
Perhaps one step just before educating oneself about how to detect these symptoms and signs of breast cancer is perhaps to understand our personal risk. If you could just let me tell you a little bit more about this.
Mm-hmm.
The first question most of my cancer patients ask me is, why is this happening to me? So it's often difficult to accept that a breast cancer has occurred purely due to chance, and most breast cancers develop in women who have no other identifiable risk factors other than their female gender and increasing age. Because breast cancer arises due to gene mutations, like I mentioned, simply put, we have more potential to experience a harmful mutation over a greater period of time, and the risk rises significantly from 40 years of age and beyond. Of course, studies have also identified other risk factors that increases one's risk of breast cancer, such as a lifetime increased risk of exposure to the female hormone estrogen that we all have. Factors that may increase exposure to estrogen include an early start to menstruation, entering menopause at an older age. Childbirth or breastfeeding does allow for estrogen break and is therefore protective. And other negative factors include obesity, family history, and a history of excessive radiation exposure. So just back to your question. A breast self-examination should be a monthly event for ladies from the age of 20. The breast bends top down just under the collarbone to the sixth rib and across from the cleavage and the breastbone at the center of the chest to the edge of the ribcage on each side. And the tail of the breast ends just under the armpit region. So the idea is to do a comprehensive visual and tactile check of your breast and underarm region. Look for changes by standing in front of a mirror and feel the changes using your middle three fingers. Doing this regularly helps one appreciate what is normal for them so that the moment differences appear, it's immediately apparent and steps can be taken for further evaluation. It's best that one does this 7 to 10 days after their menstrual period when the breasts are less sore and engorged. Or for ladies who are no longer getting their periods, pick an easy day to remember, such as the first or the last day of the month, or on a day you get your paycheck, perhaps.
Right. Well, the day you get your paycheck, you'll never forget, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, now let's talk about screening. We've been encouraged over the last few years to go for screening, to go for regular mammograms. But maybe there are women who don't realize what a regular mammogram schedule should be or how often we should be screening. Could you tell us more about that?
Certainly. So breast health awareness should be part of every woman's life, and the best way to do this is threefold. Active cancer screening and perhaps early consultation for even the faintest of abnormalities that you may detect on the breast self-examination. And good lifestyle habits. A little bit more into the screening mammogram. This involves x-rays of the breast and aims to detect abnormalities even before they can be felt. There is good evidence that mammograms work, and studies show that it can reduce the mortality rate from breast cancer by up to 50%, and this translates directly into life saving. Two views are required for each breast, which means four low-dose x-rays are captured for each screen. The radiation from one mammogram is safe and equivalent to 7 weeks of radiation exposure from normal everyday life. A certain amount of compression of the breast is required to spread out the breast tissue and obtain a clear image on the mammogram, which is why some ladies report discomfort. The compression required is similar to the feeling of getting your blood pressure taken as the cup squeezes the arm and shouldn't cause any harm. Ladies who are 40 to 49 should get their screening mammograms once a year, and ladies who are 50 and above should do this once every 2 years. Singaporeans and PRs can get their screening mammograms done at our participating polyclinics at subsidized rates.
All right, that's important information right there. Now remember what she said. So if it's, what, 40 and above, it is once a year?
That's right. And if you're 50 and above, once every 2 years.
All right. Okay. Why is that? Why is it 50 and above, it's a longer period between screenings?
So this is an interesting question. Actually, the recommendation is extremely clear above the age of 50. This is actually where most ladies will be advised to start screening. And if you go and look at online and stuff, you see that MOH and Health Hub will advise ladies to speak to their doctors about benefits and limitations in going for mammogram screening from the age of 40 to 49. Mm-hmm. And when performed, as you have noticed, mammogram screening is recommended once a year, which is double the time frame.
Right.
This is deliberately so that ladies recognize that in this age group, there is a balance between early diagnosis of breast cancer and false positive results, which means over-diagnosis. So an increased frequency will be advised as younger women tend to have more dense and less fatty breasts, such that a mammogram may not be able to detect abnormal tissues as well as if you were slightly older, which means 50 and above. That's pretty much the reason why.
All right. Now, let's talk about the benefits of early detection. Other than you could potentially save your life, what else should we know?
So it's extremely important that any persistent new change to the breast is evaluated by an experienced healthcare professional early. So even if breast lesions are most likely to be benign, it's best that that conclusion is made from a proper evaluation so that potentially high risk of cancerous lesions are not missed. And the best results are achieved when diagnosis is initially made from images captured on the screening mammogram when no symptoms can be felt. The 5-year age standardized relative survival with treatment for early breast cancer in Singapore is over 90%, but that drops to about 27% at stage 4, which is dramatically lower. Mm. Intervention is far more successful when the cancer is diagnosed early rather than late, and one is also more likely to be offered a simpler treatment protocol or wider variety of surgical options with smaller masses rather than advanced disease. So in essence, breast cancer is extremely treatable in its early stage, and the message experts continually project are that one should ideally detect it sooner than later, or better yet, while it's in a pre-invasive or high-risk pre-cancerous phase.
Okay, now there have been a lot of advancements in cancer treatments for other cancers. Is that also the case with breast cancer?
So while diagnosis is usually still the same, confirmed by breast imaging, tissue samples, also known as a biopsy, and if more advanced stages are suspected, one may require full body scan. But modern breast cancer treatment is multifaceted and may require up to a single or five types of combination therapy to achieve its highly boosted survival rate. And these are mainly going to be surgical resection, chemotherapy, radiotherapy, hormonal therapy, and targeted therapy. So that hasn't changed very much. Individualized treatment planning will take into account the cancer biology, the cancer stage, the patient's form, body proportions, but also your life priorities and personal choice. So nowadays, medical professionals across different specialties work together to optimize care, and additional considerations are extended towards high-risk gene carriers, young or pregnant ladies with breast cancer. So while the priority is firstly to eradicate the cancer, 21st century breast cancer therapy should be more than just about survival. Breast cancer is one of those rare diseases that allows breast surgeons and their patients to explore body image and lifestyle options. Generally speaking, early stage proportionately smaller cancers allow for more creative and aesthetic surgical options. Breast cancer surgery does not have to be disfiguring or disempowering. When a full mastectomy or complete breast removal is necessary or chosen, we can still make provisions to preserve the unaffected overlying skin and nipple area complex and plan individualized reconstructive options. And while a lot of people out there still believe that having breast cancer means that one has no choice but to lose that breast, conservation of healthy breast tissue is definitely possible when there are no contraindications. At SKH, our patients have access to modern oncoplastic breast-conserving surgical techniques and minimally invasive nipple-sparing mastectomy and reconstruction when possible and when desired. We study the patient's natural breast morphology, meaning their breast shape, nipple areola size, texture, droop, natural skin creases, and any previous scars, and individualized approaches to the patient's needs based on breast shape and size, cancer to breast proportions, tumor location, and more. So that, I would say, is probably new. That's probably in the last 10, 20 years.
Okay. One of the things that I realize with breast cancer is it doesn't just affect a woman. If she's married, it affects her husband as well.
Certainly.
And the question then becomes, what can he do? You know, sometimes I'm just thinking in my own situation, in my own marriage, sometimes it's my husband who goes, hey, how come you got a bruise on your arm? You know, sometimes the husband might notice the changes in the breast before even the woman does. So what does a husband need to know?
So in essence, it's really good if husbands on their own can, you know, for example, help with a breast self-examination. It really can be a couple's activity.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side of things, when breast cancer is diagnosed at a young stage, it can be dramatic for the family. And this is perhaps not just the wife, the husband, but also children.
Right.
In those situations, breast cancer is more likely to be of an aggressive subtype. They tend to progress and spread at a faster rate, and then there will be a lot of surrounding challenges. The disease itself and treatment side effects also disrupt sexuality, fertility, birth control, pregnancy, breastfeeding. They may cause temporary or early menopause, significantly alter the woman's body image, or put a bumper in career opportunities. And all these complexities need to be balanced by the couple, by the family, and definitely with your care team as well.
All right, now let's talk about, before I let you go, let's talk about some of the lifestyle habits that we should have to avoid breast cancer as much as possible.
Certainly. Well, there are some risk factors that we actually have control over.
Mm-hmm.
The behavioral choices and interventions that potentially reduce the risk of breast cancer include breastfeeding when possible, regular physical activity, maintaining a healthy body mass index, and the avoidance of harmful use of alcohol and exposure to tobacco smoke. So in fact, 150 minutes of moderate intensity exercise each week reduces your risk of breast cancer by at least 9%. This means brisk walking, jogging, aerobics, cycling, yoga, swimming, and more. And all these activities allow for a variation of intensity based on your comfort level. A simple way to judge if any exercise has achieved moderate intensity is when it causes a noticeable increase in breathing and heart rate, but actually still allows for normal conversation. So these are some of the good lifestyle habits one can adopt.
You know, I was told, because I am older, I was told by my OBGYN, sweat once a week. That's good for you. Is there anything to that?
Well, absolutely. There's actually good evidence that exercise lowers the risk of actually a lot of cancers in general, but specific to breast, at least 9%, some say 15%.
Wow, okay. He wasn't lying to me.
Not at all.
He wasn't just getting me out there and getting me to lose some weight. Got it. That's good to know. We've been speaking with Associate Professor Sabrina Nasserin, Consultant, Breast Service, Sun Kang General Hospital, in a continuing conversation about breast cancer. Doctor, thank you so much for the time and the information.
Thank you, Clarissa.
I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. You are with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.